Are you ready to start?
Oh. I've never taught sitting down.
Excuse me. I don't even know. And I don't know if I'll be able to stay on my chair or not. I'll just be honest. On Friday, I got a case of food poisoning. And, you know, that stuff guts you like nothing else. You find yourself praying prayers that you've never prayed before. You are on bended knee. And you are just, Lord, I confess every sin. Why are you letting me have this happen? And oh, it just annihilated me. And so yesterday I did not eat because it just did not sound good. And therefore, although I feel fine, I have absolutely no energy. I'm just tired. And so out of that, here I sit and I want to bring you a fresh word. I want to bring you something that I believe is crucial to our Advent season. I want to continue our Magi series, and at the same time, like, I might not all be here, okay? And so in that posture, we're going to need to pray to start. And out of that, we're hoping for some serious divine intervention. And so let us pray, and we'll move forward. Father God, it is you we came to see. It is your Son whom we need for salvation. And it is your Spirit who we need to be moving right now in this room, in our hearts, in my words. Lord, it is easy to get distracted. It is easy to come up with excuses. It is easy to walk our own way and not yours. But this moment right now, Lord, I pray that you would pull us all in to similar thoughts, motives, and truths that can be revealed through Scripture and conversation. To you be all the glory forever and ever. Amen. We are in a Magi series, and if you do not have a Bible at this moment, there are some there, and some there, and some in the back, and I want to encourage you to open up to Matthew chapter 2. And we are finishing up a series called The Magi, which has a focus of both Advent and our church core values. We are examining the idea of, we have six core values at the Bridge, and the Magi demonstrate each one of those six. So again, if you don't have a Bible, there they are for you. And week one, we talked about going backwards and upwards, or building on the past, and we raised the bar of where Scripture is, and we talked about reaching towards heaven. We had this concept of halo. High altitude, low opening, this idea of we need to meet with God and then come down and live out what it means to be Christ. Last week we went inside, intentionally transforming, and we also talked about doing life together. And so this morning I want to continue on with our last two, which is generously giving and engaging the future. And so if you will read with me, starting in verse 1 of chapter 2. Hey, have you guys noticed that there's a lot of snow out east? It's kind of nice that it missed us for once, isn't it? I'm kind of like, we didn't have to think about that. Have you ever had, like, the miracle moment while driving? All right, I know I'm going to have to stand up. I'm sorry. I can't tell stories sitting down. I can't talk on the phone sitting down. I have to walk around. We have tracks on our carpet from me being on the phone because I pace. I have to pray when I walk because I can't do it. But I have no idea why I'm telling you this story, although I heard I'm supposed to tell you. So about 10 years ago, I was up visiting my parents up in Minnesota, and my dad says, hey, you and your friend Greg, who I've never hung out with Greg, he was bored one week, and I'm like, you can come up to Minnesota with me, so he did. And I said, so we hung out, and my dad's like, you better hurry up. I was going to get nailed with snow. It is like big blizzard. And I was like, all right. So I quick packed the car, the Geo Metro of the day, and we piled it all in there, and we flew. And I made it to the border in about an hour and 8 minutes, which you should not do in a metro, let alone any other vehicle. And we were flying, and it was clear, pretty day. And it was almost like straight out of the movies where you cross into the Iowa border, and like all of a sudden it was just instant clouds and snow. It was so surreal, because how do you, like, does God just like, we're going to stay out of Minnesota today, just Iowa. But that's what it exactly felt like. And so by the time we hit Mason City, there was already 8 to 9 inches on the ground. And I'm like, oh, man, I am, like, shoveling it out my window. It is horrible. A typical trip from my house to, at the time I was going to college in Pella, was about 4.5 hours to 5 hours, okay? So we're cruising along, as you do, about 25 miles an hour, and there are vehicles in the ditch everywhere. They are just semis and vans, and I am like sliding this way. You know, it's kind of like I was doing a little hip shake down the highway with the, you know, just moving ever so slightly down the road. And we get to Des Moines, and about this time, we're 6 hours into the trip. So it is really, I mean, 5 hours from that it was painful. And the white knuckling, the exhaustion, all of that is taking place. And we get on to 80, okay? You guys are with me. You get on 80. And there is this sequence of events that take place where a van in front of me, like, swivels this way and then comes sweeping through and just misses me and goes down into a deep part of the ditch, right where 35 and 80 cross, and like, boom, boom, boom. And I'm like, I wasn't going to stop unless I saw one go in, and I saw one go in. So we pull over, and it's this van, and it's a dad and a mom and three children. And by this time, there's over a foot of snow. And we go down, and it is a deep, deep scale down. And we're like, are you got everyone okay? And they're like, yeah, we're fine. You know, they're a little shook up. And, you know, I'm looking at my vehicle. Okay, this will be interesting. I'm like, well, I can get you a ride to the gas station right up ahead. And they said that would be great. So I pick up two of the girls, and I sludge up. Greg picks up one, and the other guy helps his wife up to the top. And we don't have room clearly for everybody. And so we get the three girls and the mom and Greg and I, we're all in, and I'm just about to pull away and he goes, stop. I can't send my whole family with you. I just can't do it. Which, I mean, I'm trying to get there. I'm like, okay, well, do you want me to come back and get you? What do you want me to do? He said, well, what if you take me and we'll leave my family here? I said, okay. So we carry the kids back down into the van, and he gets in the vehicle with me, and so this is where it gets a little crazy, because I drive, we go to the Sinclair station, and he makes a phone call, and his cousin's going to come meet them, and so I'm going to bring him back to his family, and on our way back, we're coming the reverse way on I-80, and about a lane and a half has been plowed on 80 of the three lanes, and I'm driving. And I'm not smart, so I'm trying to pass a semi at the time, and so the semi and I are driving next to each other in this horrible conditions, and seriously, the vehicle goes this way, and comes back, and you may think I'm lying, but I'm telling you the truth. There is maybe an inch to no inch where the front end of the Geo Metro is underneath the frame of the back of the semi. And right as the back end of the Geo Metro is about to slam into the back tire, I find myself a complete lane and a half over. To which the guy in the back seat, the guy I'm helping save his life, right? He shouts out at the top of his lungs, "You are the greatest driver in the world!" I have never had so much fear in my life. The trip ended up taking another 2.5 hours. Greg, who I didn't know, remember, just randomly tried to be nice to the guy, says, I know another way back to Pella, which is great, but this was not the right way to take. So we went another route, and we got stuck in a ditch. And it's off the main highway. It's not on 163. It's not on 80. We're in between, like, the zones there. And we're just walking around in the snow, and we have no idea what we're going to be doing. The metro's stuck. We can't get it. And I see a pickup truck coming. So we're, like, standing on the road. You know, we stop them. And the guy says, you know, like, I've pulled three people out. I just want to get my family home. He's got a little baby and his wife. And I'm like, I understand that. But we're stuck, and there's nothing around. And so he pulled us out, and we got back. And I didn't sleep that night. And I didn't sleep because over and over and over again, I just had this replaying scene in my gut of, like, I was about to be here, and all of a sudden I'm over here. And I had an encounter that just hit. I couldn't keep operating the same way. It took me several days to recompose myself. I didn't want to drive. It was an amazing event. I tell you that story because I'm hoping God will reveal it. Let's open up to Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Judea, during the time of King Herod, and if you recall from week one, I said, King Herod is one messed up fool. He is a psycho. He is crazy. He is manipulative. He killed his own wife because he thought she was trying to steal the crown. He is a guy who uses people left and right. Do you know anyone like that? Anyone in your life who's manipulated you, used you, lied to you, stolen from you? You don't know anybody like that? Okay, this doesn't relate. Okay, Magi from the wet east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Why did they go? They went to worship, okay? That's the key word for this morning, worship. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. Now, these are the people who study this stuff. They know the word inside and out. They are very, very knowledgeable about the God stuff, okay? And they are able to rattle off an answer. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And so they quote Micah to Herod, and I find it interesting that the Magi come, and they say, we've come to worship God, we've come to worship Jesus, the King of the Jews, who has been born. Where is he? And the smart people know where he's at. He's just 5 miles away, but they don't go. They stay right where they're at. And I believe it's because they've somehow decided to start to worship knowledge. They've decided to worship facts. They've decided to worship their understanding, but not actually a person, a deity. In some sense, it's a twisted way of they were worshiping themselves. And so we read on, then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I may go and worship him. Okay, so Herod, the twisted fool that he is got this idea, like, you go find him, and I'll go worship him, and really what he means is I'm going to go kill him. Yes, I am the king of the Jews. There is no other king other than me. So you have Herod, who I would say is a guy who worships himself. He uses people any way he can so that he can grow himself. You have the Pharisees, and you have the teachers of the law, and they acquire all kinds of knowledge, basically worshiping what they can get in their head. And then you have the Magi, the men from the east, who travel a long ways so that they can worship Jesus. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose, went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. I don't get overjoyed very often, do you? Especially about God stuff. I just don't. I go through the motions. I'm a Herod. I'm concerned about myself. How I can use people to help me. How I can manipulate people so that I can get the most satisfaction. I am a Herod, and I usually use my relationships to bless myself. And really, that means I just am worshiping me. And sometimes, I use my expertise, my knowledge, and my wisdom, and give out petty answers, and encourage people in such a way where it's coming out of knowledge, and I act like I'm being a blessing, but really, I'm not. I don't get overjoyed about encountering Jesus. And I got to tell you, this year at Christmas, I mean, we're doing the Advent calendar. My kids love it because they get toys. We got 5 of them going, which is a bit overkill, I know. But grandmas just need to quit buying them for us. What would it look like? I think there's a battle going on here for true, authentic worship. And somehow the Magi capture it. They see the star. They're guided to the Christ. And they are overjoyed. They have traveled a great distance. I wonder if we made it too simple. You don't have to travel very far to encounter Jesus, do you? They had to go a long stretch of space. Maybe we aren't journeying hard enough. I don't know. I don't want to overcomplicate this, but let's move on. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And so in this posture of bowing down, they worship, and they open up their treasures and present them with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Not sure if you've heard, those gifts are symbolic in ways of gold is referencing Christ as a king. Frankincense is referencing him as a deity, as a god. And myrrh is a common fragrance used in a burial. So you have this idea that they're acknowledging Jesus as king, as God, and as one who will die. And bigger than that, though, is I think just the fact that they opened up their treasures and they gave to Christ. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So where do I get generously giving? You have these magi who walked or traveled on camel, a long distance, to encounter Jesus. And when they see Jesus, they open up and they give gifts. This week, I have taken some families Christmas shopping. Sai has also done this, and my wife has done this as well. It's an interesting thing when you can give a gift. Have you ever been like humbled by someone's gift? I'm really sorry. We're gonna speed up here. Generously giving. Does that make sense? Give me a head nod. Yes? You sure? You understand the Magi generously gave. Okay. Engaging the future. Where do I see that? Verse 12. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. I wonder how many of us We encounter Jesus, and then we go right back to our old ways, okay? We go back to Herod. We return to our old ways. And having been warned in a dream, they went back to the country another route. But we somehow fall prey. I'm getting lightheaded. I'm just going to be honest. I think what we're going to do is invite the worship team back up. We're going to take Christmas offering. good luck, guys. Here's what the Christmas offering's for. We've never done this. We've never passed plates. I don't even know if we have plates. Do we have anything to pass? We don't. We didn't think that through. I'm sorry. We don't do it, so why would we think of it? Anyone got an idea? What should we do? Hat. Anyone got a hat they can offer out? This is your service this morning. There we go. John Reagan. Thank you, Beth. All right. John, throw that hat up here. Cooties and all. Appreciate it. All right. We're going to start down here. You got another one. All right. Second row. Here's what this offering's for. We want to be a church that generously gives. Now watch. I'm going to get a second one. You're going to be up here for a half hour. No. We want to be a church that generously gives. And so this season, we are giving of beyond the tithe, beyond the joy box, beyond normal offering. This is something different. And this goes to paying for Christmas gifts for those families that probably could not afford Christmas. We took grandparents Christmas shopping for their grandkids because their grandkids are living with them. We took single dads Christmas shopping. We took single moms Christmas shopping. We took a mom and a dad Christmas shopping who are also caring for their four nephews and nieces. So we went to the schools and we said, who needs help? And they gave us a list. So we took them Christmas shopping. Now what I believe is that we are a people who generously give. And so this is not giving to as much a cause. This is just saying, God, I'm giving this to you. I don't care how it's used. I don't care. Now, know that it will be used for that, and anything above and beyond is going to go to support our three missions, which is InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, it is the Outreach Center, and it is what we're doing in Cambodia. So none of this goes to operations. This is strictly for that. And as that goes, we're going to listen to this song. I guarantee some people are going to come back just to see what in the world's going on. All right, we're going to end like this. We've gone through six core values, and I want you to consider joining us in 2010 and making a commitment to live out these core values. And here's how I want you to do that. All right, so building on the past, we talked about Scripture and the importance of Scripture and God's Word. And I believe we are not getting enough Scripture inside of us. And so what we have done is we created the 90-day New Testament Challenge. And basically, on January 3rd, we are encouraging you to start a reading plan that goes for 90 days all the way to Easter. And in that amount of time, you will read the entire New Testament. It's about 3 to 4 chapters a day. It's a big commitment. It's a huge one. We're encouraging you to journey with us. If that seems daunting to you, can I encourage you to do youversion.com? They have 29 different reading plans on there. One of them is the Gospels in 90 days. You could do that. But over here, side, we got cards, don't we? They're at the resource table. Reading the New Testament in 90 days. I will be journeying with you in that, and we will be talking about that. That's number one. Number two, reaching up. This is the idea of going north, upwards. Here's how we want to live that one out. Once a month, we want to encourage you to be a part of a prayer initiative at the Bridge. That could be the Rising. That could be Kason. That could be a special event when we do 40 hours of prayer. But somehow, we need to just stop and look up and pray and seek God. So in Kason, what we're starting to do is we're doing prayers for Atumwa. We're doing prayers for 2010. We're doing prayers for the Bridge. We're doing prayers for missions. We're doing prayer. Be a part of a prayer initiative. Maybe for you, you're like, I don't know if I can do that. Then I would encourage you to journal, okay? I'm always going to give you a plan B. I want to set the bar high, but I don't want to take people's heads off. Number three, the inward transformation, going inwards. Here's how I want you to live that one out. What would it look like you for to just turn it off? Your cell phone, your TV, your radio. What would it look like to Sabbath? Maybe for 2 hours, maybe for 4 hours. I go with No Tech Tuesdays once a month. No technology. I get nauseous sometimes. Seriously, it's an addicted thing. I'm like, I just want to watch the news. There's nothing. I didn't watch it the night before, but this whole, can I say we can never go inside if we have all the noise outside? And so I want to ask you, for the next season, would you journey inside by turning it off? Just name it. Come up with something, whether it's going to be taking a Sabbath, turning off your cell phone, not turning on the TV, not watching a movie, turn something off for one day for during the week, okay? Number four, I gave you lots of options. Doing life together. This is growth groups. They're 4 to 6 weeks long. They start in the middle of January. Sign-ups start in the front end of January. Doing life together. We are not meant to journey alone. We need to be in relationship with one another. Can I encourage you to get in a group with someone? You say, I don't know if I can work that. Okay, here's plan B. Show up early and be a part of community at the Bridge. Have coffee with someone here. Just show up early. Okay, number five, giving generously. For those of you who are already giving, kudos. Great job. Keep giving. For those of you who haven't, start. It's an option. Just throwing it out there. How much? Right, pray about it. Decide. Figure out. But I give treasure, not because you need to give money, but because money already owns you. And the only way we can start to release this idolatry we have of more stuff is to start to give it away. Number six, engaging the future. Now here's how I want to paint engaging the future. This is the idea of making tomorrow a better place than today. I was talking to a church planner and they said to me, well, we're not a church like the Bridge. I said, oh yeah, how's that? Well, we're not a social justice church. We just teach the gospel. I said, oh. I'm confused. He says, well, we preach Jesus. I'm like, huh? Still confused. Have you been to the Bridge? Yeah, I've been there. You're doing all kinds of things in the community. Can I say why we do all these things in the community? Because I believe that is the gospel. It is Jesus healing the blind. It is Jesus feeding the hungry. It is giving shelter to the people who do not have shelter. And so the gospel is the good news that Jesus has come to set the captives free. And so we engage the future with the idea that we can make tomorrow better than today. And we start by serving wherever we are. We can do this with our neighbors. We can do this with our coworkers. But can I encourage you to start coming up with a plan to serve? Get a part of the common, all right? So, awkward service. I apologize, and yet I don't. My hope is that in some ways, you're in a Geo Metro right now, and you're about to hit a semi-truck, and you find yourself a complete lane over, and you say, you know what? I cannot go back the same route I came. I have to return by another route. I have to start to live differently. If we do not live differently, the world will not know Jesus. They know Jesus because of who we are and how. Now, Christ went to heaven and he left us here to be him. And so it is up to us to live out Jesus Christ every single day. And so I pray, Father God, right now at this moment, would you teach us how to be the hands and feet of Jesus? Would we give of our whole selves? Would we not hold back what we have? Would we joyfully come to you? Would all of the things that are a part of us be done in worship because of who you are? And would that compel us, Lord, to pursue you in greater ways? Would it compel us, Lord, to share you with more and more people? To you be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Can we stand and lift our voices and end joyfully what God has done for us?